reading. It's from the book of Deuteronomy, which is the fifth book in the Hebrew Scriptures, the last book in what our Jewish brothers and sisters call the Torah. How many people have read the book of Deuteronomy recently? I'd be impressed if you'd ever read it all the way through. I'm not sure I have, though I know I read a bunch of it in Hebrew Scriptures. You have, Hal? Oh, that's true. Probably Hebrew Scriptures in Divinity School. It's an interesting book because it was written, it originated in written form from a book of law found in the rebuilding of the temple in 7th century BCE under the reign of King Josiah. And yet it holds traditions and teachings and stories that are much older than the 7th century BCE. Deuteronomy's teachings are cast as the final words of Moses to the people of Israel entering the land that was promised to them by God to their ancestors, Abraham and Sarah, Isaac and Rebekah, Jacob, Rachel, and Leah, and their 12 sons. After 40 years of journey in the wilderness, imagine this now, the people of Israel stand on the brink of the Jordan River, ready to cross over into this promised land. And then Moses delivers them a 26-chapter sermon of lessons and traditions and cautions they are to remember in this land. At least according to whoever wrote down Deuteronomy, it was 26 chapters. Our text today is the very last paragraph of that sermon. So picture the people, maybe stand with them there on that bank, weary from the travails of more than a generation of traveling as immigrants, and yet eager, excited, yes, probably with more than a little bit of trepidation, but ready to see what God has in store with them, in store for them in this new homeland. So let's hear George read this last paragraph of Moses' sermon.
Reading from the 30th chapter of Deuteronomy, beginning at the 15th verse. See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity. If you obey the commandments of the Holy One, your God, that I am commanding you today, by loving your God, walking in God's ways, and observing God's commandments, decrees, and ordinances, then you shall live and become numerous, and the Holy One, your God, will bless you in the land that you are entering to possess. But if your hearts turn away, and you do not hear, but are led astray to bow down to other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life, so that you and your descendants may live, loving the Holy One, your God, obeying God, and holding fast to God, for that means life to you and length of days, so that you may live in the land that the Holy One swore to give to your ancestors, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. Thanks be to God.
Choose. Choose, 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 choose this day. I'm not sure that my weary brain would be able to take all that choosing in if I were been standing there listening to Moses. I hope that my heart would be stirred to follow God's ways as we had been trying to follow, well, at least most of the time, since we left Egypt 40 years ago. Perhaps I was just a child then, barely remembering all the miracles of fleeing out of Egypt. Perhaps I was a young mother then, and now I am an old grandmother at the end of my life telling stories. Perhaps I had not even been born and only knew the stories of the escape from the Red Sea, the manna in the wilderness, the miraculous water from the rock, that debacle with the golden calf, and the giving of the Ten Commandments. Perhaps I only knew about all of these just from the family stories. The people who heard these words from Moses on that transitional day were of many generations and experiences, and yet held together by the covenant of God's promise of new life to their very ancient ancestors. They were held together by journeying through dangers, journeying through those times of tedious travel, celebrating births and deaths along the way, trying to stay together as a community of God's chosen and blessed people. Now, our physical circumstances are very different from those ancient people on the edge of the Jordan River. We are not desert dwellers in makeshift tents, footsore and hungry, worn thin from travel and desert storms, and yet our spiritual and emotional inner lives could be very similar to what they were experiencing. We are a community of many generations and experiences standing on the brink of this transitional election year. No matter what party or candidate we may support, we are heartsore and weary, hungry for justice, perhaps angry, worn thin by the stormy tumult of our times. The people of Israel could look across that misty river and see the other side of the Jordan with real hope. There was the land that would finally be a settled home for them. They had a tangible reason to choose life, to choose God's ways of living. What can we look for with hope? What are our tangible visions? What inspires us here in the 21st century to choose life? In America, and here in this community, which I look at as middle class, upper, lower, middle class, we are people of choices. How to spend our time, how to spend our money, our educational and work opportunities, what to eat for lunch or breakfast or dinner. We get to choose so many things. And we have also learned to be suspicious of choices. What's in the fine print? Where's the catch? Is it too good to be true? Too simple? Moses says, if you keep God's ways, then you shall live and become numerous, and your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to possess. If you don't keep God's ways and you turn away to worship other gods, you shall perish. That's pretty black and white. And on the surface, it also feels retributive. Do what I say, get rewards. Don't do what I say, get punishment. Does that make any of you independent-minded, stand-on-your-own-two-feet Coloradoans feel just a teeny bit rebellious? Or does it feel like being coerced by fear, much too simplistic to trust? I know as 21st century intellectual people, we may react this way to this ancient text. However, today, I want to bring you hope, not fear. My friends, this choice was offered to the Israelites centuries ago and is offered to us today. Out of a deep covenant relationship with the Holy One, who demonstrates time and again in Scripture and in our lives that God is love and compassion, companioning us on the journey. Not retributive law and rigid rules that are hard to keep. The Holy One of never-ending and unconditional love, who offered this choice to the Israelites through Moses, offers us the same choice today through this ancient text. It's not a contract with late fees to pay if we slip up. It is a covenant of relationship built on mutual love. The Holy One is rooting for us to choose life. And yet, what do we do with those experiences when we tried our best to follow God's ways of life, perhaps for years, perhaps for all the days of our lives, and then prosperity and happy times did not come, for they are not guaranteed. Bad things happen in our lives, even to the best and the most faithful of people. Does this mean that God has reneged on the covenant, not kept the promise? Why choose life when what we feel all around us is death? Where's God in the death? Where is God and God's love in the midst of all of life? Do you remember how the people of Israel complained when they were starving in the desert? And they may literally have been starving. God sent manna, bread made from the excretions of insects on the leaves of plants, to feed them. They could have said, "Oh, gross, I am not eating that." But they trusted. They ate it, and it was good. It was like bread from heaven. When God made water pour from a rock because they were dying of thirst, they could have said, "Oh, yuck, there's probably dirt in that water. We might get sick." But they trusted, and they were saved. When they turned from God to worship the golden calf, when Moses was away up on Mount Sinai receiving the Ten Commandments, well, God and Moses were angry. Through Moses' exhortations, though, they repented. They chose life again, and God forgave them. God restored the tablets of the Ten Commandments to them, commandments that would lead them into deeper covenant community and into life. Moses says at the very end, the last sentence of his very long sermon, "Choose life by loving God so that you and your descendants may live." Life and love are the ultimate words from God. They're always available. As I said, the Holy One is always on the side of choosing life, even when we turn away and choose the habits of death. Choose to be stuck in scarcity thinking, in fear, in anger, in arrogance, in greed. When we find ourselves in the midst of death-dealing situations in our lives, and they are tough situations, They feel hopeless, I know, at times. How do we choose God's life and love? Because we may not be feeling it at that moment, and we may be really scared. This is my practical advice. When you're at that point of panic or deep grief or anger, first take 3 breaths. Deep ones. Don't hurry. Feel your feet on the floor, your hand on the table, the arms of a loved one who may be holding you. Think of the love of a community such as this one that has promised to reach out and be a safe place for you. Breathe again. Keep breathing. And then when the temptation comes to fall back on death-dealing habits, or if you are bound up by the terrible traumatic pain that death-dealing situations can bring, don't forget to say, help. Help. Just that word. Even with that one word of spoken or silent prayer, the Holy One, who is love and life, will honor your claim on the covenant relationship of love and life. In the day-to-day frustrations and anger of our times, say help. And then still your heart with breath. Listen with your heart and your mind as you go about your day, as you work for justice, as you do simple and humble kindnesses, walking in God's ways. Holy help will come. It always comes through someone, through an idea, through an unexpected event, through an unexpected experience of beauty. Keep putting one foot in front of the other on the journey with God, who loves us beyond all measure. The Israelites were not free from trouble after settling in the Promised Land. They were not free from failure to follow the ways of God. In fact, they messed up royally time after time, even to the point of occupation and exile. And still, God, the Holy One, was always there offering the choice. Choose life. Life in relationship with me. Choose love and compassion and forgiveness. My friends, in these very tough times, breathe. Feel your feet on the ground. Remember, you are not alone. God is in the midst of it all. Say, help, and choose life. Amen.